beautiful friends. Welcome to the Arise to Life podcast, where we share real and raw conversations about our sometimes crazy, but always beautiful kind of lives. I'm Madison.
Hey, it's Jill.
It's me, Sarah.
And hey, it's Ashlyn, and we are so excited that you're joining us today. Our desire is to encourage every girl in every season to arise to the abundant life that is waiting for her. Whether you're wrestling your toddlers or having a cup of coffee, we're here to come alongside of you and share the ups and downs of our faith, friendship, and everything in between. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 16. We're excited to be back. Did everyone have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Yes.
It was fun.
So this week, anybody else? So we're like recording in the week between Christmas and New Year's, and this week can feel so chaotic. Like, is anyone else's house a disaster?
Yes.
And you have toys everywhere, and there's not a place for them, and it's just wild. But this pops up on my timeline every year on my Facebook memories, and it says December 26th through the 31st. What day is it? Who even am I? I need to make money, and I should eat a vegetable. Can anybody else relate?
Yes.
Okay, so for our icebreaker today, I want to know, what's the last vegetable you ate?
Oh, I just ate one yesterday. Oh, and today for lunch.
Good job, Madison.
I had Supreme Pizza.
With veggies on it.
Green peppers and banana peppers and mushrooms.
Oh, good job, buddy.
That's
good
ridiculous.
I had to think about it for a minute because it's been a couple days, but I don't even, like you said, I don't even know what day it is. Thursday today? Okay, Thursday. So Tuesday, I did eat some okra on Tuesday.
Oh. Was it fried okra?
No, it wasn't fried. It was sautéed in the skillet, Madison.
Sautéed okra? Is that even good?
Yes.
What? Yes.
Of course. I only ate it fried.
This is Sarah, yeah.
Or pickled okra.
I love pickled
okra. Pickled okra is really good.
This sauté it. Put a little seasoning in it. Coconut oil. No, coconut oil. And it's really good.
You guys are going to make fun of me, but I actually ate. Have you seen the Tiffany girl on TikTok, the mustard drink?
The mustard girl.
I had to try it because she tries this mustard and cottage cheese, and she has like just a plate of
cottage
raw vegetables.
Cottage cheese or mustard
both.
Is not a vegetable.
Yeah,
no,
neither.
She has a plate of raw vegetables, and I actually ate that today, and it's not as good as what she's talking about.
Okay.
She's talking about
vegetable?
Pretty nasty.
I had
broccoli and carrots and all sorts of stuff.
Okay, but the
peppers.
Real question is, every single time you ate one, did you say broccoli with cottage cheese and mustard? Carrot with cottage cheese.
I'll send you a video of it next time.
Please do.
You ate the vegetables with cottage cheese and mustard.
I've never seen this.
Yeah,
no,
the mustard is disgusting. Look her up tonight, okay?
Yeah.
She says it's
everything she eats. She says
I feel like I need a TikTok account if this is what they're
getting. Okay, let's have you practice by posting it on the Rise page next time you eat cottage cheese and mustard.
Okay.
We'll all give you feedback on whether or not you would make a good TikTok channel.
That's embarrassing. I'm not going to mock that poor girl, but it's terrible. I'm sorry. But then, no, the mustard and cottage cheese. Now, I can eat the cottage cheese. Like, that's good. But the mustard? Mm-mm.
Yeah. So I normally put... I normally put like veggies on my sandwich, you know what I mean? But I've been putting chips on my sandwich. Have you ever had chips?
Oh, yes.
It's so good.
A potato is a vegetable, isn't
but
it?
But pickles. I've been putting pickles on my sandwich.
That's his bro. That's his question.
Yeah, she really eats her vegetables.
I will say my fridge went out today, and I was like, you know, that's a chance to clean out your fridge, right? Like, so I'm like switching over to this new fridge, and I did throw away a lot of vegetables that didn't make it.
The questionable things that get pushed to the back of the fridge.
Okay, this is going in the trash. I think the last one, I had onions in my eggs this morning, but I do resonate with this, and I really should eat some more vegetables.
Yeah, I went through, I think it was the day after Christmas, with a trash bag full of toys that I threw away from... like a lot of them were like broken, but I was just like that, like tornado. All
frenzy
of a sudden, we
cleaning.
Have all of these things that now need a place, and I have no place for them, so I'm just gonna make a place.
Yeah, hey, that's what the week after Christmas is all about, right? No, but as we're coming into the new year, so this episode's gonna post on January 1st, and I think it's really cool that this year January 1st is on a Monday, and it just falls kind of perfectly where if you have like your goals or your resolutions or whatever, like it's a perfect day to start because it's the first and it's a Monday. We don't really want to talk about goals or resolutions with this podcast episode, but I thought it would be really cool to just reflect on, like, our plans for the new year. And, like, we, all of us girls have been talking about is getting our hearts and our minds focused on what God has for us this year. We've all picked a word, and it's a word for the year and a word that we feel like God has given us that we want to make as our focus, or that we want to just kind of bring before the Lord and learn and grow in.
I was going to say an area of growth, yeah. Really, you know?
Yeah, something that we want to grow in. So today we just kind of want to talk about that, and each of us go through and just share our word and why we chose it, and, you know, kind of what we're hoping God does in our hearts as we go into the new year. So
I'll just add, picking a word, it just gives you a focus, like you said, but God's fascinated in you. So he cares about what you care about. And it says, if he begins a good work in you, he will finish it. And so I think just focusing on one word, he's going to reveal that word to you like you've never, so just get ready. Like, if you plan a word and you pick it and you stay consistent in it and you pray about it, he is going to reveal that to you. And so I think it's exciting every time I've ever picked one. And I'm not gonna lie, I've not always been that great. There's been moments throughout the word or the year, my goodness, words are hard, that I forgot about it, or I didn't think, oh, and then I'd remember, oh, this is my word, this is probably why you're teaching this to me.
Go look back and you're like, wow, I forgot that was even my word. Yeah. But you really did that in my heart this year. I learned so much through that this year.
And he almost like puts things in front of you to allow you to experience the word that you've chosen. Like you talked about abide last year was your word, and how there was so many moments last year that it was like you needed to abide in him. And so he put those in front of you so that you could learn that aspect or attribute of the Lord.
Yeah. So he's just knowing that he's faithful and he will do the work if you're putting your work into, if you're being faithful in it. So my word is going to be renewal. So when we start following God, there's a renewal of the mind that has to happen. And that's happened for me, but now I'm in a different stage. So I'm kind of at this point in my walk where I've put God in a box for so long, in this comfortable little box that Sarah has, because I still get to do ministry and I still get to do these things with him, but it's on my terms and it's what I'm comfortable with. And in this past year, he has revealed so much to me that because of this box, I'm missing out on. And so I want my mind to be renewed all over again. Like, I want to almost forget the former things and I want him to create a new thing in me, because listen, like, he loves us no matter what we do, no matter how much work I put in. I don't have to earn anything. I think I've been caught up and I have to earn these positions, or I have to do these right things. I can't say any bad words. I can't do anything wrong. I can't do this because he's going to be upset with me. And that's just a lie. Mm-hmm. He is going to love me regardless of where I'm at and what I'm doing all the time. So if I know that, then I can step into a new belief with him and a new walk. So I want Tim, I've heard in a message like that he's the merchant. So he bought you. He bought you with everything he had. He sent Jesus down and he had to have you. He couldn't walk away from you, and he purchased you. And I've been like shopping, or I've had to buy something, even if it's a pair of shoes, which doesn't compare, but I just want you to like imagine this, picture it in your head. But you've been in a store where you couldn't walk away from something and you had to have it, and you thought about it, you consumed your mind, you had to go back and have it. And that's how he sees us. So if I look at myself, that's what I want to be renewed. I want to know that I can pray for miracles and they will happen. Mm-hmm. I want to know that I can rely on him and he will go through or come through. I want to know that the scripture is renewing my mind every time I read it. Like, I just want to be awakened like I've never been before, and I want to walk with him like I've never walked with him before, and know that I'm beloved and he's fascinated with me. And I can't do that in the mind that I've had now. So renewal is my word.
I love that, because I think it's so easy to, I know all the things. Like, I know who I am in Christ. And I think a lot of us could recite, I am chosen, I am free, I am loved, I'm redeemed. Like, you can recite all the things, but are you living in such a way that shows that you believe those things about you? And so can you renew that in me in a way that brings it into my actions and not just into my mind? Like, I'm going to renew it in a way that I'm living in such a way that I believe those things, not just I know them in my head. You know what I mean? Take it farther than that. Not just I know it in my head, but now I'm living in that way.
Yeah, because I think knowledge is nearly just a starting point. but I have to know, but I have to know it, so that's my knowledge. But then if I know it and it's just the starting point, now I'm positioning myself for a deeper love with him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to do. I just want to reposition and get renewed.
As you were sharing your word, I like go and look up the meaning of renew, and it says to resume an activity after an interruption. And so like be looking for that. Like we talked about how whenever we pick a word, he starts moving in that way. And so I feel like there's going to be an interruption, you know, and something's going to happen that's going to interrupt the way you're doing things right now. And so now like he's going to interrupt that, and now you're going to resume and move forward in a whole new way.
Yeah. And I think renewing our minds or our lives in general is like such an important thing. And so I love that as you pick this as your word for this year, how it's going to create this new habit inside of you that causes you to constantly renew your thoughts or renew, yeah. you know, your, it's just going to create this new way of thinking that you have that is going to affect you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. A new normal.
Today I think it is just repositioning. Like you said, like even today I was burning boxes, and I mean like I had a bonfire because it was ridiculous. But, and I was looking at the Christmas, and we talk about the week after Christmas and it's chaotic. But then in the middle of it, I'm like, you know what? No, I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord, that I, number one, have the ability to buy these things for my kids. And number two, that I have family and friends around me that love to spoil my kids. Like, thank you that I have these things. So I burnt the box with zeal and a little more, like I was proud versus like, oh, my house is a mess and this is ridiculous. So I think that's like a renewal process right there.
I've heard you do that a few times recently. Yeah. Like you've stopped yourself and like, okay, I'm going to look at this in a different way.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
You talk about Christmas, and this has nothing to do with renewal, but the night before Christmas, we got like all the stuff ready for the kids, you know, like the stockings out and everything. And I sat down on the couch and I looked at Dylan and I'm like, man, I hope I got enough. And he's like, why? Like, what? Like, why do you think that? Like, it shouldn't be about that, he said. He said it wouldn't matter if you got one gift or 100 gifts. Like, you would have enough because it's not about the gifts, but it's about, you know, just, it's about everything else but the gifts, really, you know. And so it was that moment was a renewing of my mind, too. And, I focus on that all year, like, in the Christmas season, I don't want it to be about the stuff, you know, and I like tell myself that, but the enemy still got in my head after I like repeatedly would like hype myself up, you know, and be like, you know, it's not about the gifts. Like, we're going to make sure that it's not about the gifts. And then the night before Christmas, here I am being attacked, worrying about the gifts, you know, and so I'm thankful like that Dylan stopped it right there and was like, it wouldn't matter, you know, it has nothing to do with the gifts. And so like, it doesn't matter how on guard we are, the enemy is still like seeking of how he can devour our minds and devour our hearts. And
I think what you just brought up was like this amazing picture of how God works, because you started that by saying this has nothing to do with renewal, and then you shared this moment that happened, and then you talked about how it was a renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
And it's like God will just bring up these things into our mind, and you're like, I don't know why I'm supposed to say this,
right,
but I'm going to start saying it.
And then it just comes out,
yeah. And you're like, oh, it did have to do with renewal. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I just think that's cool that God does that for us, like brings these things to our mind.
I'm going to share a scripture, too, to go with it. But it's Titus 3:5, and it's, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So that's my focus. I think it's easy, and even in ministry, like, obviously it's easy in, like, a work position to earn your position. And you can do that in ministry. Like, we're trying to earn some sort of position, and it really is just the renewing of the Holy Spirit is all I should care about, you know?
Yeah. Because we can't ever earn it.
No, we can't.
You know, we can't. So that's cool. That's a good word. It's going to be a good year.
Yeah, it is. You guys better watch out. I'm not crazy. I don't know.
I can go next. My word is gratitude. It's been a rough year, honestly, and I've noticed throughout the year that my gratefulness and thankfulness has slowly started like going away. And I noticed recently that I'm like, I'm just complaining all the time. This sucks. I don't want to do this. Like, why are we doing this? Why does this have to happen? Why are they acting this way? All of these things constantly. And I caught myself and I'm like, I haven't said that I'm thankful for one thing and I don't know how long. And I've gotten to where my mind was constantly going like in a negative way. And so when I asked him like, what's my word supposed to be?
And he said, gratitude. I'm like, yeah, that's it. And I tried thinking of something else, and I tried praying, like, no. And he's like, no. Like, I don't have a grateful heart. And that's a hard, like, that was like a, I was listening to Bill Johnson today, and he said, this guy, he couldn't feel his foot. And so he went to the doctor, and he's like, I don't know what's wrong. I can't feel my foot. And the doctor pricked his foot, and he didn't feel anything. He didn't feel any pain, and he said, that's not okay. Like, he should have felt pain. He should have felt it. Ugh, that hurts. And he said, it's the same way when we read our word. Sometimes we should feel a little prick in our heart, like, oh, that stung, that hurt, because that is what renews your mind. That's what changes the circumstances. Like, we have all this scripture that it's feel good, and he talked about the milk and the meat. He said, the milk is your feel good scriptures. Well, the meat is what pricks your heart and what changes how you live. And so I heard that, and I'm like, yeah, this is a, like, prick my heart. But I have a 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I just kind of broke that down, and he did it so well, Bill Johnson did, but he said that these are choices. Like, it's not natural for us as humans to want to always have joy. It's not natural for us to want to pray through hard things. It's not natural for us to just constantly, like, have a thanksgiving heart, to constantly be giving thanks to God. But he said, like, we have to command ourselves to do these things, because we won't just do it on our own. And I thought of David, where in Psalms he had to command his soul to bless the Lord. And whenever I first heard that verse, I'm like, that was different to me. I never had heard that before. And when I read it, I'm like, we have to command ourselves to do these things. We have to command ourselves to be thankful sometimes whenever we're going through different circumstances. And I like how Paul gives this command to the church, because like I said, like, it doesn't come naturally. And whenever he's saying this to the church, they're really young in their faith. They're young in their, they just started the church. And sometimes, like, we can be adults, but we can be mature in some, or immature in some areas of our faith. And so we have to command our souls and command our hearts to do what the meat of the word says, and not always the milk. Like, we can't live on milk forever. It's like a baby. They have to start eating meat at some point. And it's the same with us and our word. And so my word is gratitude. And even today I caught myself, I was painting all day, and I'm like, my back hurts. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to paint. And then I'm like, I get to paint today. I get to do this. I get to do these things. And so, but I kept thinking this sucks. Like, this is not, like, my body is aching. I've been doing this for days. And so I had to keep, like, over and over. And that's just a small, simple little example. But there's been, like, we've had some loss this year in our family, and we've just had lots of different things happen. And so I just stopped intentionally being grateful. And so I had to catch myself and have that, like, prick in the heart moment. And so
I think that intentionally being grateful was a good thing to highlight, because, like you said, it doesn't just come naturally. Our, like, you know, excitement for joy and gratitude doesn't just come naturally. And so creating that habit of gratitude. So how do you create that habit? Like, you know, can you journal things throughout, like, in the morning, start your day with gratitude? I think, like, I always, when I think of thankfulness, I think of my mom. She kept a prayer journal, and the whole thing is just filled with gratitude and thankfulness. And even when she had cancer and she was hurting and she was miserable, she was started off every prayer with thank you, Lord, for, and she would list the things that she was thankful for, even in the hardest of times. And so, like, that needs to be a habit, I almost feel like, you know, not just, like, something that you try to do, but something that you plan to do.
Yeah, and I listened to another message, and he talked about that. He said how a lot of times we'll enter God's presence, like, screaming, I need help. Yeah. Like, I need help with this. I need you to do this, and I need you to do this. But that's, like, that's not how he wants you to enter his presence. He said he wants you to enter with thanksgiving first. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you need help. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you might need something, but that's not how you should first greet him.
Yeah.
Like, if I constantly went to you and Sarah, and I was like, I need this, I need this. Can you help me with this? I need this. Instead of, like, hey, I'm so thankful for your friendship.
Yeah.
You should try that.
Interesting enough, so you use Sarah as your example.
Yeah, use Sarah as your example.
know when you were talking about that, it's not natural for us because we're selfish beings. Yeah. I mean, we live in a sinful world where sin is like our, a lot of times it's our first reaction. I mean, not necessarily sin, but negativity and, you know.
Well, it's all about you. We're in a self-care like era right now where you have to always do these things for yourself first. You have to always pamper yourself. And those aren't bad things, but it's whenever it's my first priority is myself, and that is not okay.
I saw a Facebook post today that said, if you don't have a hunger for God, it's probably because you're full of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that was a prick your heart moment.
And I think you do come to this point where it doesn't matter so much about you anymore. And you are in those in certain areas. You know, like you said, you're mature in some, and some areas we're not. Like I'm just like me. And but those areas, if you look and compare those areas that you're mature in, it's because you don't care so much about yourself and you care about him. Mm-hmm. So just like Jill said, and I think like Jill and I were talking the other day about favor, and Jill so wisely said, I was talking to somebody and trying to talk her through something, and I said, you know, if you treat, he doesn't care about the work that you're doing right now as much as he cares about how you treat his people. And if you treat his people good, then you'll have favor. And so Jill and I started talking about favor, and Jill so wisely said, well, favor doesn't always look the way we want it to look. Mm-hmm. So Mary, you know, Mary was exactly had favor, and it was rough. I mean, she had to have a baby at, like, how old was she? I mean, and not even just a baby, the savior of the world. Like, there was, I mean, that would not look like a lot of favor to people, you know? And so I think of that when you're talking about that, like, when you start changing how you speak and how you approach things with gratitude, then his favor is going to come upon you. And it might not always look like favor, but it is.
And that's the thing. We can look back now and see that Mary was highly favored. Like, she had the honor of bringing the King of Kings into this world. But in the moment, there were many people who didn't believe, you know what I mean, didn't understand what was happening, and she may not have understood it fully. And, you know, in the moment, it didn't feel like favor. Yeah. And so that's why I think it can look different than we think, because we don't see the big picture the way that God does. We just see what's right in front of us.
Yeah, his ways are so much higher than ours. Yeah. I mean, it says it. And I think we get caught up in trying to understand, and we're never going to understand.
Yeah. And I think that's something, like, if you don't know what to be grateful for, like, if you're in this, like, horrible place where you just, like, everything's falling apart around you, you can always just be grateful that, like, he's in control and that he's gone before you and see, like, you know, this situation is really hard, God, but thank you for going before me. Like, just something as simple as that.
And knowing that he works all things out for your good. Yeah. So it may not feel like that. I'm sure Mary didn't feel like this was going to be worked out for her good.
Right.
But boy, was it.
Yeah.
Because she was planning a wedding and she was going to get married.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of being ungrateful is because we focus on the negative. Mm-hmm. And it's just natural for us. You know, you guys could say 10 things good about me and say one thing bad about me, but I'll leave this room thinking about the one thing that you said negative about me and forgetting about all the others. And why do we do that? Why? Yeah. You know, like, I don't really have an answer for that. But if we can switch that around, that will help our outlook on gratitude and thanksgiving so much, I think, you know?
I think a lot of that has to do with our personal dialogue, like what we're saying about ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if what I'm saying about myself is the one negative thing that you said,
then it stands out.
It's going to stand out because I've heard it more often, right? Yeah. Like, I hear that all the time if that's what I'm saying to myself. And so it's easier to believe than the good things.
So we need to really believe what the Lord says about us to be true so that we don't get caught up on that one.
And renew our minds.
Renew our minds.
So that we're thinking good things.
The Christian walk is funny. I think of that movie on Twister. You know, have you guys seen Twister?
Yeah, a long time ago.
The clip where they, like, buckle themselves.
It's been a really long time.
That's a long movie. You're showing your age, buddy.
Is it black and white movie?
Madison wasn't quite born yet.
I was really young when I saw it.
Yeah, I was like, she was like 2.
When they take their belt off and buckle to the thing in the barn and then the tornado comes, that's like the walk. Like, I just sometimes need to buckle.
Just buckle in. All right, God, here we go.
Here it comes with the tornado. It's coming.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, the Christian walk, like, it says to have a heart of flesh, but also your heart is deceitful. Yeah. It says to be
ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of the book to find this, but then the end of the book to find this, and then.
But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because in different stages of our life, it's like, okay, I need this word for here, and I need this word for here, and,
and he's like, whoa.
Who's you want me next? To go next?
Yeah, you go next.
Okay. My word of the year is uncomfortable.
Oh.
And
ouch.
That's fun.
It's weird because, you know, like when you think about, I remember whenever we just started like saying, hey girls, let's think about our word for the year. Obviously that kind of word doesn't come to my mind. I'm thinking about like all of these uplifting words like renew and gratitude and, you know, love, all these things. And I wanted my word to be abundance. I thought that would be a great word to focus on the abundance in all things. But then when I picked that word and started like praying about that word, I felt like the Lord was saying, that's not the word that I have for you. And so the word just uncomfortable and comfort zone and that kind of thing just kept coming to my mind. And so as I picked, got told uncomfortable, a couple things just came to my mind. And so it means more trips with the kids in tow, even if it would be easier to stay home. It means less about me and more about others. It means more rigorous workouts, which I'm not too excited about, and waking up earlier. But on that waking up earlier, the Lord's been really convicting my heart about, you know, in the Proverbs 31 woman, like it talks about how she rises early, you know. And so I don't sleep in late. I've never been a sleeper inner, but the Lord has really been like pushing me to wake up early and just do a lot of things early. And so it was cool that this kind of goes with that. It means more patience, more being present, and new habits. And it means more things that challenge and stretch me. I don't like to be challenged and stretched. Challenge is okay because I like competition. I'm really competitive. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I like a challenge, but I don't like to be stretched. Like I want to be challenged within my comfort zone and I'm fine, but get me outside of my comfort zone. And it's like, I don't know. I'm just really uncomfortable, like not just a little bit, but a lot. And so it's really going to be challenging for me, I think, to even fulfill this word throughout the year, if that's the word. But like the last half of last year, you know, we, walked away from everything that we ever known, our welding business, the farm, like all of those things, and just moved here. And so that was uncomfortable and that stretched me. And so that's why I thought this next year would be full of abundance. And I know that it still will be. It's not saying that it won't be because this word, but I just want to be intentional about getting out of my comfort zone. And so it doesn't have to look like leaving the farm and closing the welding business, but it can look like maybe starting a conversation, like a real conversation with somebody that I wouldn't normally talk to,
right,
or taking a coffee to somebody that maybe I wouldn't normally take a coffee to. And so these little steps out of my comfort zone is what I don't want to miss. Like mm-hmm. the big ones, you grow outside of your comfort zone. That's where I've had the most growth within the last half of the year than I ever have in my entire life. And it was all outside of my comfort zone. And so I'm excited about that, to see what the Lord grows in me through this. But it's going to be painful. But I don't want it to be just looking at the big steps outside my comfort zone. I don't want to miss those small steps outside of my comfort zone, because I really feel like if I can nail those steps down, that it will be more of a routine thing for me to get outside my comfort zone. I don't want to be in a box, just like we don't want to put the Holy Spirit in a box. Like the Lord's going to do really big things outside of our comfort zone. And so that's what I'm really excited to experience. And so I don't know, it's going to be uncomfortable, but I think I will really learn a lot and grow a lot through it.
I love you were in the beginning of that, you're talking about how you wanted your word to be abundance and that would be like a really cool thing to like focus on for the year, and God said no. Mm-hmm. Like I was thinking about you, like you love hunting, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're sitting in your living room just focusing on the deer, like I just want the deer, I just want the deer, I just want the deer, like you're never gonna get the deer sitting in your living room mm-hmm. comfortable and warm, right?
Right?
You have to go outside and focus on what it takes
in the dark,
yeah.
Too.
And like I know you've sent me messages sometimes like from the deer stand and you're freezing cold and you've been up there for hours and there's mountain lion pacing down below you and stuff, and I'm just like, holy
wow.
cow. No, that was
did you kill a bear quite with your the hands too?
But the point is, like, as you're out getting uncomfortable,
that's where the blessing comes.
The blessing comes and the abundance comes. Yeah. And it's not what you're focusing on, mm-hmm. but it's not, doesn't mean God's not going to bring it. And you said that, I know. It just like that picture came into my mind mm-hmm. that like in order to go out and get your deer, your big, huge buck that you got this year, you had to get uncomfortable and you had to go and do something else and not just sit on your couch and think about the deer that you really wanted to get, you know?
Yeah. It's just, and I know a comfort zone is comfortable for everyone, but mm-hmm. I think I really, truly do stay in my comfort zone a lot because it's my safe place. And I don't like to get hurt, mm-hmm. you know, by whatever that looks like. And so as long as I can stay in that comfort zone, then I'm safe. And so, you know, it's a lot deeper than just, you know, not wanting to grow outside your comfort zone. You know, it's just like I really do have always
felt safe inside of a comfort zone and tried to stay there. And so this is really like going to be encouraging to me to step outside of that and not be afraid, because the Lord says he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, right? He gives us a spirit of love and sound mind and power. And so that's what I want to focus on.
I think it's really cool that like we've gone through so far three, and I think this one has a renewing of the mind theme too.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's going to be a lot of times when you're going to have to
renew
your mind as you're going out to do something that's uncomfortable. You're going to have to reframe it in your mind and say, like, okay, this isn't just a miserable thing that I'm doing. I'm doing it because, like, it's going to produce something inside of me, you know? And so I think that yours, I feel like there's a theme going is what I'm trying to
and
say.
And it takes, like, I'm thinking about this on mine, but in all of ours, it takes, like, figuring out who's going to keep you accountable.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, I'm going to try to run back to my comfort zone, and I'm going to need people to be, like, telling me that I'm doing that.
What was our word we did to each other? That one last year?
Caw-caw?
Caw-caw! Oh! We get to bring caw-caw back. I'm so excited.
So when you're getting comfy, good, Sarah's going to caw-caw you. I like being comfortable.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I do too. A warm, cozy blanket on my couch is pretty epic.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I know.
It does. I'm not saying I'm not doing that. Yeah, I don't want anybody to hear that.
Every time Ashlyn's chilling on her couch, Sarah can call her.
Look out your sliding glass window and I'm going to be
that'd be terrifying.
I can't wait.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, we got to do that.
No. If I see Madison cacawing in my... She could probably stand in her window and I could look out mine and
I'm making a trip to do it. I can't wait. Just making a trip. They're shooters. But knowing, I like how you said that and talking about the comfort zone and knowing that there is no part of me that does not belong to him. So even when I'm uncomfortable, he cares. Like, even when I'm uncomfortable, he's walking with me, even when I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
He works through all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. All right, well.
Hurry up, finish this up.
Here's
this.
Okay, my word for this year is expectation. And I was, just the other day, I was just cleaning in my house and just thinking about things, and God brought that word to my mind. And so I started kind of meditating on that word and thinking about it. And God was revealing to me that I've gotten to this place in my life where I feel like I just expect bad things to happen. And I expect, like, and I think in 2019, I went through a season that was really hard and I struggled through a miscarriage. And I've talked about it a lot on here, but I feel like I got into this mindset that that's just the way God works, that he only works through hardship. And he does work through hardship, but that's not the only way that he works. And so I feel like I've just gotten to this place where I'm expecting the negative, or I'm expecting something bad to happen. And I think that God's saying, like, let's move away from that. Let's start expecting good things to happen. Let's start expecting big things to happen. And I have to be careful, because I can't just expect that everything's going to be easy, because like we said, growth comes when we're uncomfortable and whenever things are hard. And so I have to, like, keep my mind in the right place and say, like, yes, I'm expecting big things to happen, but just like Mary had favor and it didn't look exactly like we thought, like, it's not always going to look really easy or the way that I think, but just the idea of not expecting the negative all the time. And so if I wake up and I start my day and I expect for it to be a bad day and then something negative happens, it's confirmed. Yep, see, it's a bad day. But if I get up and I'm expecting this is going to be a good day and God's going to move and something big is going to happen, and then something negative happens, that's just a road bump for me. Like, I can still go on and have a good day because I was expecting that it was going to be a good day. And the other aspect of that is whenever I start to pray, expecting that God is going to answer that prayer, expecting that he's going to hold true to his promises. Like, right now I'm pregnant and I'm expecting a child, right? And in that expectation, I'm not over here saying, well, maybe, like, I'm pregnant, so maybe I'll have a baby. Like, I'm having a baby.
Yeah.
And so I got to start getting the diapers ready, and I got to start, like, preparing the nursery and getting a crib and buying clothes and preparing in a way that says, this is going to happen. Like, I'm expecting for this to happen. And I think sometimes in our prayer life, we can pray something and just think, I hope that it happens. right now, I don't just hope that I'm having a baby. I am having a baby. Yeah. Like, I got to do stuff that gets ready for that baby. And I want to have a prayer life that does that. Like, when I start to pray for something or God speaks something over my life in, like, a prophetic word or whatever, I don't want to just hope that that thing is going to come true. It's not a wish. Yeah. You know, I'm going to start living as though that is happening, mm-hmm. you know, like an expectation. And I think one big thing that keeps me sometimes from believing when someone speaks a word over me or like something that makes me think that like his promises are not going to come to fulfillment in my life is that like sometimes I feel like I don't deserve to receive whatever it is he's promised or whatever has been prophesied over me because of what I've done or the lack of what I've done or whatever. And in those moments, I have to remember that what I do and who I am are completely separate things. Mm-hmm. And who I am is never dependent on what I do, mm-hmm. thankfully, right? Yeah. Renewing your mind and not thinking in a way that says, God's promises depend on me, mm-hmm. because they don't. God's promises only depend on him, and he cannot lie, and he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And so whenever I pray, I can expect that God's going to move on my behalf, whatever that looks like. And that's not up to me what it looks like. It's up to him. But I can expect that he's going to move and he's going to do something because that's who he is, not because of who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I had a coach that said, whether you say you can or you can't, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what I thought of the minute you started saying some of what you're saying, because we have such power in our words. And so we're bringing life or death, and yeah. that goes with, you know, we can either expect the worst or we can expect, you know, what could not be the worst.
Yeah. And I think when we expect negative things to happen, we notice all the negative things.
Right.
Like,
focus.
I'm going to give you, so a lot of times whenever we're coming in to record, like, I'll listen to some sermons about the topic or I'll read or study or whatever, and today none of that happened because our fridge went out and we had to figure that out. So like we had to go and get a new fridge and bring it back and get everything out of the old fridge and put it all in the new fridge. And it was just this whole thing. It took hours of my day, right? And it was almost like God said, I'm not going to give you a sermon to talk about for tonight. I'm going to show you what this looks like in your life. And so I spent my whole day like, man, this is terrible. Like, see, everything, it always bad happens on a recording day or whatever. You know, like I'm sitting here noticing all the negative things. And if I would have looked at it a different way and like spent that day expecting God to move, I would have seen that we found a refrigerator that was 4 miles from our house that was a really good price and was better than the refrigerator that we had. And like I would have seen all the good things and the blessings in the situation that happened today and not just the negative things. And so it was like he wanted to show me in an object lesson and not just in someone else's words.
Isn't that the best way, though, that we learn? Like, the Lord, we could be like,
walks us through it.
Yeah. We can, if you ask for patience, that's why they say don't pray for patience, because he's not going to just hand you patience. He's going to put you in situations that make you learn how to have patience.
Yes. I think they also say that about choosing the word uncomfortable as you.
I didn't choose it, Jill.
Yeah, he's going to give you opportunities.
Yeah, he's going to say, you guys need to be supportive of me.
No, I'm so proud of you. I am.
Yeah.
I am. That is hard when you have a word in mind and you're like, this is what I want my year to look like. And God says, no, I want it to look
like
this.
But that's like, I mean, that's the same case with all of ours. Like Madison, you know, she didn't pick gratitude because she's a thankful person. She said she picked gratitude because she realized that her heart hasn't been full of gratitude. And
right.
so my word's going to be uncomfortable. Obviously, her word's going to be uncomfortable. Renewing, like you needed a renewing of your mind. And so that's going to be uncomfortable to walk through.
Yeah.
You know, an expectation. Like if you were expecting the negative, that's going to be uncomfortable for you to walk through too.
Yeah, and I think like having a word like expectation to focus on, you just get to walk more and more in our calling. Like when he looks down on us, what does he see? He doesn't see Jill, the one who does it all wrong and gets everything wrong and the refrigerator goes out. He sees his son because his blood washed away everything that you could ever do. Right. So when we walk in expectation, then we walk into this like more our identity. Like he's like, okay, that's what I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Like I've been waiting for you to wait to expect me to work on your behalf.
Right.
And I think we look at him wrong a lot of times and like that's what he's waiting for.
Yeah.
And we could have so much more authority, I think, if we walked like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we walked willing to be uncomfortable, and if we walked with a grateful heart, and if we walked renewing my negative thoughts, you know, like we're yeah. all just about to walk into like a new realm with him.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
we allow him to, you know.
Yeah. And I think that goes for everyone listening.
Yeah.
I feel like as you go into the next year, like God is always doing something new. You know, forget the former things. Behold, I am doing something new. And that's the case in every single, like the life of every single person that's listening right now. God is ready to do something new in your life. He's ready for you to step into something new and for, you know, you to look past the things that are behind you and to look into something new. And so that looks different for all of us. Mm-hmm. Like we each have a different thing, but it all seems to tie together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seems to come together in a way that like, we can see him working and moving, and it's amazing. But, like, I don't know what that looks like in your life, but why don't you pick a word?
Yeah.
You know, why don't you pray about it? I get that when you're listening, this is going to be January 1st, but that's a perfect day to reflect. And even if you listen to it on January 7th, like, time is not a thing to God.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't matter what day you're listening to this.
It's actually the perfect day that you're listening to this.
You can pick your word and you can say, God, like, what is it that you want me to focus on for this next year? And he's going to show you, he's going to reveal it to you, and it's going to be the right word for you. But
and don't be afraid of your word, too, yeah. you know? Like,
yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Is it?
Like, I was going to challenge them that, like, you might, the first word that comes to your mind might not be the exact right word. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, really ask him and seek yeah. him, because if it comes and it's like, oh, that sounds easy, that yeah. sounds great, it might not be the right word. Don't be afraid to pick a word that's challenging for you.
Because yeah. he wants to grow you. He wants to do a new thing in you. And so that's exciting to yeah. know that he doesn't just leave us in our comfort zones with ungrateful hearts and negative thoughts. He pushes us to yeah. to work through them.
And if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've yeah. always gotten. And so when it's time to step into something new, sometimes you have to do things differently.
Yeah.
I owe them an apology.
Oh, let's hear it.
Who's there? I didn't get the Christmas tree challenge up.
Yeah.
And I apologize.
But you're going to do the mustard video.
So yes. that'll make
up for it.
Well, yes. I forgot about that already.
No one else
did.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder if this will get back to this girl.
Probably not. I don't think.
I'll pray for her in it.
You called her a poor girl. And
yeah,
you
like, okay, maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think that.
I mean, no, I'm proud of her.
Not mocking the poor girl.
It's not good. It's not good.
The mustard's not good, right? That's what you're saying?
That's the only thing, okay. The mustard.
Yeah. But we'll be anticipating. I'll be expectant for your
mustard.
It'll
get you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be real grateful.
The listeners will be grateful.
What's it going to renew in me, though?
It's going to renew their trust in you.
Oh.
Because you let them down with the Christmas tree challenge.
I mean, it wasn't
this is going to be epic.
I'm going to come to the store with cottage cheese and mustard one day. And
if you buy it, I'm game.
Okay, I'll do it. I'm doing it.
Anyways, I do apologize for not getting that up. That was bad.
Yeah. She'll make it up
for it. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay.
No, but we would love to hear if you guys pick a word for the year. We would love to hear what your word is, and even a story behind why you chose it and what you're expecting God to do for your year. So we love you all. We're so grateful for you, and we can't wait to hear what God does in 2024.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.